This is God's Word found in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, let me start with verse 29 and end with verse 43. Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 43. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. I want to read also verse 46 to get the emotional feeling of the end of this meeting. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. There's a lot of preaching in those verses, more than I intend to take time for this morning. I do want to dispel a common misunderstanding. Many people read verse 38 and think that water baptism is required in order to obtain eternal life. And that's a misinterpretation of the verse. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. For, as I've expressed many times, for can mean in order to get. Let's go to the gas station for some fuel. Or it can mean because of. Thank you for your help in doing this work. Now, when you say thank you for your help in doing this work, you're not saying thank you in order to get the help. You're saying thank you because of the help. If you say thank you for lunch, you're not saying thank you in order to get the lunch. You're saying thank you because somebody bought you lunch. And that's the sense in which Peter is preaching here when he says, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. That doesn't mean you get baptized in order to get the remission of sins. It means you're being baptized because of the remission of sins wrought by the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. You are saying, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. You have done the work, the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to follow you as a member of your church. That's what you're saying by baptism. You're saying that I want to follow as a disciple of Jesus Christ in his church in order to fulfill the righteousness of this act, in order to be the response of a good conscience toward God. That's the purpose of water baptism. It is not to get eternal life in a home in heaven. Otherwise, the thief on the cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise," would have needed to somehow get off the cross and find some water. But he didn't. And yet he ended up in paradise. And at the general resurrection, he'll end up glorified, not because of anything he did, but because of what the man that was crucified next to him did for him, and entirely because of that. That's not my subject tonight. I want to hasten on. Here's my subject. Acts chapter 2 starts off with this verse. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." It was Pentecost. If you've ever studied the holidays of the Israelite year, you'll find that in Leviticus chapter 23. They were Passover, followed by 7 days of unleavened bread. Then you had the Feast of the First Fruits. Now, as far as when the Feast of the First Fruits occur, it was variable. Passover was the same day. It was the 14th day of the first day of the month. And 7 days of unleavened bread followed that. And the first of those 7 days was a high Sabbath, followed by five more days. And the last of the 7 days of unleavened bread was another high Sabbath, regardless of what day of the week they fell. But the Feast of First Fruits is when the first fruits was in. And that would have often been before Passover. They were to take the sheaf of the wheat of the first fruits. And after Passover, then the first end of the week Sabbath that occurred, you came to the next day, which was the first day of the week. And on that first day of the week, you took that sheaf of grain. It might have been barley or wheat or rye or whatever it was. And the high priest would wave that sheaf of wheat before God. And if the Lord accepted that, and that is the high priest lived, it meant the harvest was accepted. The Feast of the First Fruits. Can you see the crucifixion in Passover? I hope you can. Because that's the day a lamb was roasted with fire, whole, with not a bone of him broken. And Jesus Christ himself was crucified on Passover day. And not a bone of him was broken. And he was roasted in the fires of God's wrath as he hung in the darkness on the cross. He was our Passover. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Followed by a week of unleavened bread shows that Jesus Christ's body was not corrupt, not any sin in it. He who was made sin for us knew no sin. He was unleavened. But do you know what day of the week that the Lord rose? It was the first day of the week. It was the day after the weekly Sabbath when the first fruits of them that slept rose from the grave. I hope you can see Jesus Christ in those first holidays. Passover, unleavened bread, and then first fruits, which was variable whenever the last day of the week, Sabbath, occurred. The first day of the week, day after the Sabbath, was first fruits. Then after first fruits, what you did is you had the next holiday, which in the Old Testament was called the Feast of Weeks. You numbered 7 weeks past the first fruits offering. 7 times 7 is 49. And then the next day, you held a sacrifice. You had a feast unto the Lord called the Feast of Weeks. By the time you get to the New Testament, a lot of Greek culture had crept in. And so they didn't call it the Hebrew of the Feast of Weeks. They used a Greek term in it. And the Greek term literally meant 50. And that Greek word was Pentecost. So when day 50 arrived, 50 days after what? The first fruits offering. But with New Testament revelation, it was 50 days after what greater event? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. So now, I want you to just think. Here was Peter, Simon Peter, preaching to this crowd of people. And he concludes one part of his sermon with this: "Therefore let all the house of Israel assuredly know that that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, God hath made him to be both Lord and Christ." What do you mean you have crucified? And there were people gathered there from all nations. Some of them might have come recently. Some of them may have been there on Passover. And there were folks that were from Jerusalem. They were there on Passover. 53 days before this day of Pentecost, what were many of the people in this crowd crying out for? Crucify him. Speaking of Jesus Christ. Many in this crowd were calling out, crucify him. But now let me ask you this. 53 days before this day of Pentecost, what was Simon Peter doing in the courtyard of the priest house? He was denying Jesus Christ. Not once, but three times. And so here's the message I have for you. 53 days before this, you had a congregation that was calling out for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and you had a preacher that was denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And here at the end of the day of Pentecost, they were meeting from house to house, gladly in their hearts, breaking bread with each other, celebrating and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say grace? There's grace. Here you got a crowd that was calling out to kill this man, Jesus of Nazareth. Here you've got a preacher that was denying this man, Jesus of Nazareth. And now you've got 3,000 baptized, meeting at each other's house, convening in the temple, celebrating that same name of the man who had risen from the dead because he had paid for their sins. Now, it's not that much different today. I know you weren't physically there and I wasn't physically there to cry out, crucify him. But what was it that really caused the Lord Jesus Christ to go to the cross? It was our sins. He loved us just because he loved us, not because we deserved it. He loved us, and it was our sins that caused him to be crucified. So I am just as guilty as any member in that crowd there on the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. And brothers and sisters, child of God, heaven-bound child of God, so are you. So are you. It was your sins that caused him to go to the cross. And now you've got a man up here standing trying to proclaim the word of God who by his actions and words in days past has effectively denied Jesus Christ. Made people think I wasn't connected to him. Acted in such a way that it would have brought shame, not honor, upon his name. I regret that. I don't say that gladly. But it's the truth. It's the truth. But grace. Grace can enable a man that has denied him to proclaim him. Grace can enable brothers and sisters that have crucified him to celebrate him and love him. And so it is today. We are blessed to celebrate, love, and I hope with the remainder of our days on earth, whether they be many or few, all my years are his due. May they all be devoted to him. Let's devote our days. You know, if you want to devote your years to Jesus Christ, you have to start off by devoting your days to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, dear God. You are so gracious, full of mercy, full of power, full of joy, Lord. And we know the joy of the Lord is our strength. So please, Lord, though we don't deserve it, grant us your joy graciously and your peace that passes understanding. Help us to stay our minds on you, Lord, because you've given the promise that God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. Father, we ask that you would bless this your servant, Brother John, as he comes to preach your gospel, declare your word. Uphold him, Lord. Help his mind to be clear, his heart to be fervent, as he reads from your word and then explains it to us, Lord. Thank you, Father, for each one that's gathered here. Bless them, Lord, with your presence, with your Holy Spirit. Bless those that watch online, Lord. Bless them with your Spirit and your presence. Help us, Lord, to be bountiful in love. Help us to be merciful and gracious to other people, for so we have received this of you, Lord. As we have freely received, help us to freely give. We know, Lord, that you love a cheerful giver. We know that you are a cheerful giver. How amazing are thy gifts, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.